You're listening to the Women's Hope Podcast of the Masters University with Dr. Shelby Cullen and Kimberly Cummings. Join them as they bring hope and encouragement through 25 years of combined experience in biblical discipleship and counseling as ACBC counselors. Shelby and Kimberly provide biblical and practical wisdom by coming alongside women with the teaching and resources necessary to grow in the grace and the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Women's Hope Podcast. Kim, it's so wonderful to have you here again. How have you been?
I've been wonderful. Hey, is everything around your house yellow? Covered with pine pollen?
Oh, yeah. I would say because I don't have allergies, I wouldn't be as aware of that as maybe you would because I know you get pretty...
There's literally tracks in my driveway.
Oh, there is?
It's so yellow.
Really?
I was wondering how we were going to get through today, so we may have to take coughing breaks.
Okay, I gotcha. That's interesting. You know what? I will be more aware. I will be looking for it now. Thank you for making me aware. The wind has been blowing quite a bit here, so I know that potential is there.
Yes, I got caught in that wind.
Okay.
Yeah, with the Santa Anas on an airplane.
Oh.
It was so
bad. We were
flying
at the same time. You were going to...
That's right. I was going to Indiana.
And I was going to Michigan.
Yes. So my flight was so wobbly that the loud environment alarm went off on my watch because of people screaming.
No. Kim, that's scary.
So I'm thankful to be here today.
I'm thankful that you're here. Wow. Maybe the next question I was going to ask you, it's kind of a funny one, but have you been, and it sounds like you did because you ended up in the place you needed to go, but have you been actively engaging your spiritual gifts for the glory of God?
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. You had a teaching engagement, right?
Yes, I did.
That's wonderful.
It was wonderful. The women in Indiana are great.
Aww.
Yes, at the little church that
that's
I
wonderful.
Got to speak at. It was sweet. Sweet time.
So good.
Speaking of sweet time, you had a sweet time in Michigan.
I did. My youngest daughter is getting married, and so somebody there from her church just hosted a lovely engagement party, and I wanted to be part of that, and it was really sweet. Sean came with me, and it's fun to see your children grow up, and this would be the last one out of the nest who is on to marriage with her beloved, and so we're looking forward to a summer wedding.
That is so great.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
And I'm so thankful that you got to go and celebrate that.
Me too. Yeah, Lord was kind. Just so happens it was planned at a good time where I could break away from all my responsibilities, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
So how have you employed your spiritual gifts lately, if you're going to nail me to the wall, girly?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I think maybe lately it's been more in the realm of probably just counseling and definitely getting prepared to teach quite a bit in April, women. And it's just exciting times, but along with those kinds of things are, you know, a little bit of work there, but that's okay. God gives us the strength that we need and the grace that we need to kind of work through some of those things. But yeah, I mean, just every day he just gives us something that we need to be able to do that. And I'm just thankful to even be able to do that.
Right.
We get to.
He calls us. He gives it to us, right? He gives us these gifts to use, but he also gives us the strength in which we use them in. When I teach women, I'm just asking, Lord, you speak through me.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. This, you have called and given me this opportunity, but I want it to be the words that you would have me to say and to use me for yourself.
Amen.
I mean, that is just my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we do that, while we have a very solemn responsibility, we know that ultimately God is the one doing the work.
Absolutely. That's right.
So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, in our last episode, Kim, we embarked on a journey into the heart of spiritual gifts and looked at some really crucial questions. We wanted to think through the nature of spiritual gifts, who's qualified to have them, and even the source and purpose of them. And today, what we want to do is we just want to pick up where we left off, and we want to dive deeper into these topics and just to gain a fuller understanding of how spiritual gifts just shape our lives and our ministries. And so I'm really thankful that we're just taking the time to just talk about this, because, I mean, it really impacts not only the body of Christ as a whole, but we're trying to narrow this down into how it works within women's ministries. You know, we come alongside women all the time, and even in biblical counseling, this happens where I realize that maybe a person isn't understanding of these things. And so part of my responsibility, I would say, as a Titus 2 woman, as a biblical counselor, whatever, as a teacher, women's ministry leader, is to help people to understand those things and then sure. how to employ those things for the glory of God. So we're really just trying to give information, biblical information on this topic, but how maybe someone helps another might look a little different, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, it's just good stuff. But in our previous episode, we did talk through various passages of Scripture. I think we were kind of planted in 1 Peter 4 for a bit. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12 a little, and I mentioned some other passages. And so I think from that, we discerned that spiritual gifts are not products of our own ability. It's good to remind ourselves of that, but rather spiritual gifts are sovereignly bestowed by God to us. Peter in 1 Peter 4 beautifully describes spiritual gifts as the manifold of grace. And so they're freely given by God, and they are very diverse when you start looking through the list. And with that foundation that's been laid, and hopefully if you're just joining us right now, ladies, you may want to put this on pause and listen to the other one that came before it, because this is a part two, and we want you to have all of it. But with that foundation being laid last episode, now our goal today is just to dive deeper into the exploration of spiritual gifts. So I'm going to invite everyone to maybe open up to 1 Corinthians 12 once more, and we're going to once again just allow the Word of God to shape our answer. And the first question that we want to answer is, what is the importance of spiritual gifts? Okay? So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gift, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." That's how that chapter begins. So before we even delve into this whole discussion on the importance of spiritual gifts, I think it's pretty essential that we set some context. So I gave it away a little bit in our previous episode, but just for sake of continuity, I mean, one of the primary reasons that Paul penned that letter to the Corinthians was because there was misuse of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ there. And that misuse led to discord and disunity amongst the believers. And that situation was deeply concerning to Paul. And so what he's doing is he's seeking to address this issue by illuminating some key truths for the Corinthians to consider. And you can glean it out of that verse one, believe it or not. The first way that he is doing that is just by saying in verse one, you don't really see it unless you dig deeper, but he's saying that spiritual gifts are controlled by the Spirit. It's that phrase spiritual in verse one. That just means, when you look it up in the original language, it just means that it's characterized by or it's controlled by the Spirit. I guess I can say the Greek word if you would like, but it's pneumatikos in the Greek. You can learn a lot just from this one word, which is amazing because it tells you that all spiritual gifts are controlled by the Spirit. And that's one of the reasons why they're so important, right?
So good.
But not only that, they are also important because of the word he uses for gift. It's that charisma word again. Mm-hmm. And that means that our spiritual gifts are received by God's grace. And that's in keeping with what we learned in 1 Peter 4. We already talked about that.
Right. It's got that root word there, that charis, which
charis.
Is grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grace. We know some people that are named charis, you know.
Yes.
That's the root of it.
Lovely name.
So we know, therefore, that they are received by grace, and that is important because it means that we cannot earn spiritual gifts. We touched on that before. But rather, the spiritual gifts that have been bestowed upon us are controlled by the Holy Spirit, given by grace from God, and used to serve the body of Christ. So, in conclusion, Paul's earnest desire for the believers in Corinth, and by extension, all of us who are united in Christ, is to grasp the significance of spiritual gifts. Regrettably, just like the situation in Corinth, today's church often grapples with ignorance and just misuse of those gifts. At times, we may disregard them, we may succumb to self-centered perspectives, or we may even erroneously prioritize certain gifts above others, and I think that's what Paul was definitely dealing with in the Corinth church. But by gaining a deeper understanding of spiritual gifts from his word and just the proper utilization of those gifts, we can actively participate in the mission of discipleship within our women's ministries, because that's really what you're doing. You know, you're discipling one another. And when you do that, you glorify God and you foster unity within the body of Christ. And so with that in mind, we can go on to the next question, because I'm sure people want to know, what are the categories, I would say, what are the broad categories of spiritual gifts? And Peter actually brings that out in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, when he says, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, and so I think some versions say utterances of God, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so you can see that Peter is dividing the gifts into two broad categories. You see that there's a speaking or a teaching gift there, and then there's a serving gift. But even though Peter has given us these broad categories, we also recognize that all spiritual gifts are given to serve one another. So we can kind of examine these categories a little bit more, a little closer, maybe a little bit more in depth. And the first one, it's fun thinking through this, but the first one is a speaking gift or a teaching gift. A believer who is spiritually gifted in this way will minister to others through a variety of categories, right? It's not just what you're thinking probably in your mind. So for example, I mean, we can use the quintessential example. Obviously, when you go to church on Sunday, your pastor who's been faithful during the week to exegete the scriptures and organize the material and put it together, when he exposits the word, which means putting the word on display, when he preaches the word to you on Sunday morning or maybe another day of the week, he is employing his spiritual gift, right? Mm-hmm. When you're called to be a pastor, that's one thing you got to ask yourself, am I even gifted in the area of teaching?
And elders.
And elders as well. Are they able to teach? That's one of the qualifications, right? Or if you're like him and you're over a women's Bible study, you know, there's going to be the way she has her design and the way many women's ministries are designed in this area of Bible study is there's bound to be someone who's going to get up front and teach an overview or whatever the ladies are studying. That's a teaching gift. Even I would even go so far as to say it extends into women in women's ministries who are also writing Bible studies, because there has to be, there's discernment, but there also has to be just a giftedness in that area. And I think it kind of flows out of teaching in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of women write Bible studies. But the gift of teaching is not just limited to adult ministries like women's ministries or whatever, teaching on Sunday. Some of you out there may be teaching younger children. Maybe it's your own children. Maybe it's children in children's ministries. Maybe you're a leader in youth ministries. You know, you're coming alongside these young people and you are going through lessons in the Bible in one form or another. That requires a teaching gift because you have to understand the Word of God in context in order to do that. And so it's kind of fun. Of course, we could say that biblical counseling ministry requires a teaching gift because This is where I'm at with my students even this week. We give instruction. That's what biblical counselors are known for, giving instruction in the Word of God. After you've discerned what's going on with that person through all of the different things you do, you have to kind of think about, okay, so what are the greatest needs here? What kind of biblical instruction can I give that's appropriate for this person right now? Where am I going to go in the Word to minister to them? That all requires a teaching gift, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to think about that. That might just be a one-on-one opportunity, but nonetheless, it requires that. Now, the five speaking gifts mentioned in Romans 12, 8 to 10 and 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, it's kind of interesting. They both have the same verses, are things like prophecy, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, teaching, and exhortation. I think Kim has a gift of exhortation, by the way. And Peter says in verse 11 that the one who is speaking is to speak the oracles of God. So, and that comes out of 1 Peter, by the way. So it's not any type of speaking that Peter refers to. Rather, what he is saying is the believer who is ministering to others using their speaking gifts in some of those ways that I mentioned and other ways too, need to endeavor to do so by speaking God's words. That's really important. I cannot believe just in the last 2 days how often I've talked to my students about this very thing. Within the context of biblical counseling, I usually say that my opinion is of little value compared to wanting to minister to them with what God's word says. That's transformative. That's living and active. My opinion is just my opinion.
Yeah. That's the kind of teaching we all should desire to be under.
Oh, yeah.
And should be under.
That's exactly right.
Talk about being discerning. Or is that the kind of teaching you are under? Someone who understands that the words that they are to teach are to be
God's words. Yeah. What God meant the original audience to understand. Are we mining? Are we mining it? Yeah.
Empty philosophy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
I mean, it's a great reminder. We need to be reminded. That's why we go on these little tangents. That, you know, we have been entrusted. If you have the gift of speaking, you've been entrusted to speak God's words. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be careful and we need to be faithful to God and His word in that area. You know, what comes to mind right now is there's also a warning for people that have that gift, you know, so got to think about that in James. But the other broad category of spiritual gifts that Peter mentions are the serving gifts. Those are really important. Peter uses the word for serving that he uses there means to minister or assist by performing certain duties, you know, helping. Mm-hmm. And in this case, he's referring to the permanent serving gifts, such as leadership. My husband has a gift of leadership, majorly. I see that so clearly in him. I tell him all the time. Or the gift of helps. You know, all of those wonderful people that serve behind the scenes, you don't even know how much goes on in the body of Christ. You just don't know. I always think of the ladies or the people, I don't think it's just specifically ladies, who are filling the pews with the cards that you fill out on Sunday morning or the ones that are praying for us. I mean, so many things, just great. Giving is also a spiritual gift, the gift of mercy. I love it when women who vocationally are nurses become biblical counselors. It's because the gift of mercy. So they're so evident that they have the gift of mercy, and it just pairs so well in that ministry. But my pastor, who is John MacArthur, says that these gifts are like colors on an artist's palette. The Holy Spirit mixes these primary colors into combinations, and so by the time they're given to you, they are different than they are with anyone else.
I love that.
That's a variety. I love that diverse variety.
Yes, the creativity of God.
Creativity of God.
Yes.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. So good. I love that picture.
And that's really what Paul means in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, when he says the Spirit distributes to each one individually just as he wills. And so spiritual gifts are unique to you, and God has entrusted them to you. Last episode, we talked really clearly about just the stewardship. you know, that's been given to us. God views the gifts he's bestowed upon you as very important, and the use of them as really essential to a healthy body. And so the last question that we want to tackle is just, what are the intentions of our spiritual gifts? And so we understand the importance, the source, the variety, and all of that. But Kim, what are the intentions that we're to have when we employ our spiritual gifts?
Well, thanks, Shelby. I'm still relishing in that picture of God being the artist of mixing and making our giftedness just specifically to us. You know, that just flows from a very loving God. Mm-hmm. And I also see, because this is a topic that we've talked about before, the order of God and how that plays into that as well. But I don't want to digress on that. Just my little mind over here going in some directions.
I love it.
So,
I love it.
You know, that's what I do. But just the creativity of God, just what a beautiful thing to reflect upon him when we see someone using their giftedness and to think that God is using them for his purposes that way. So let's answer this question that you have posed here. What are the intentions of our spiritual gifts? So we go back to 1 Peter 4, verse 11, and Peter writes, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever." So, Shelby, let me ask you a question. What is the chief end of man?
To glorify him and to enjoy him forever.
Good job. So, according to Thomas Watson, which is one of my favorite old dead guys, he says, "The glory of God is a silver thread which must run through all of our actions."
I love that.
How many of our actions?
All.
All of our actions. So the Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, and we could include there employing and stewarding our spiritual gifts, right? We do all to the glory of God. One way that we glorify God when we employ our gifts is to serve the body, but God has to be the end of all of our actions. He is the beginning and he is the end. So we glorify God by being content with the gifts that he has given us, because they're all necessary, they're all important, and they're all essential, which really blows my mind when you think about God, who has no need for us whatsoever.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
That he doesn't need us, but yet he uses us anyway.
Yeah.
It's so precious. It just shows the magnitude of his love for us. So we also, according to the text, praise God and glorify God through praise. So it's in that last part there in verse 11, it says, "To whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Praise is a God-exalting work. When we praise God through ministering of our gifts, we are spreading his fame everywhere. And we are trophies of his grace, and we are gifts of grace to others through this. So yes, he is chiefly glorified, but others are benefactors of that. And through that, God is glorified as well.
Amen.
And so we just see glory, glory, glory everywhere to the glory of God. I love it. So in conclusion, before we end today, let's think through maybe some concerns or objections, which I alluded to a little bit in the introduction of the first episode, but maybe some things that as women you're thinking about. And so I want to go through these as I explain some of this here. Maybe you're here and you're like, yes, I am so excited because you are wanting to learn more about your spiritual gift and what your gifts are and how you may be able to begin to serve others for the glory of God, right? Rightfully so. You should be excited. Or maybe some of you are under conviction right now. Perhaps you're aware of what your gift is, but you have been neglecting it. Or maybe you've been misusing it, which you alluded to a little bit in the last episode, making it about you. Maybe you have been robbing glory for God and using it for your own glory. Well, if you have, we have good news for you. You can confess that as sin, and you can stop robbing God of glory, and you can renew your mind and think of God as the one who is to receive all the glory and change. And as you humbly confess that, God will be exalted. And remember, His mercies are new every morning, and so you can begin with a new day of glorifying God. What a gift from God that is. Maybe you are scared. Maybe you're fearful to engage or employ your gifts for whatever reason. Maybe the fear of man. There could be a variety of reasons you're afraid. And it could be a little bit of self-centeredness, right? Forgetting that God is the one who supplies us with the needs that will to build that gift, to grow that gift, right? To mature in that gift is probably the best word to say, mature. So maybe you're afraid of failure. Maybe you're afraid to get too close to people. Maybe you've been burned before. Okay. We need to lay that aside. We need to not be fearful of those things. Again, trust the Lord with a new day. Just because something bad has happened, we know that in our lives, God will even work that together for good, right? And so we need to trust Him in that. The good news is, ultimately, your giftedness is between you and the Lord. And He has made you a steward of that gift. And we have said this several times now. We are owners of nothing. We are stewards of everything. We don't own these gifts. We are owned by God. We are His possession, right? And so we need to realize that in our giftedness and using that. He has made you to steward those gifts. And so we want to steward them well. Maybe you're mismanaging your gift. Again, you come to God humbly. You ask Him for help to begin to steward and employ that gift more fully to the capacity that He has given you within the body of Christ. You can also read 2 Timothy 1:7 and remind yourself that God has saved you and He's called you with a holy calling. And you are not to have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and discipline. And that includes using our giftedness, right? I love that verse. So in closing, allow me to remind you, the church is an organism. It is living. It is not an organization. This is not a business.
That's okay? Right. Amen.
We are a body. We are a body of Christ, and we are living and breathing, and it's made up of God's people. And if you are a believer in Christ, that includes you. I heard someone say one time they loved going to a big church because they could go in and go out unnoticed. Oh, That is not biblical, ladies. We do not have the gift of being invisible. Okay. There are.
That's funny.
We are known by God and we're to be known. Okay. And we can do that through using our giftedness. So, pulsing through us is the Spirit of God. And so remember that our salvation, like we said in the beginning, is not just atonement. It's not only justification. Those are magnificent, huge things to fathom and to grasp. We are new life. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are called to live every day in a new way that God has planned for us before the foundation of the world. And He has put this body of Christ together. The church that you are in, God in His providence put you there for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And we love watching that. My husband's like, it's always so amazing to see how God brings this body together and then to see their areas of giftedness. And it's just what is needful.
Yeah.
Within our specific local body.
Mm.
It's always so beautiful to see that. So accept that which God has lovingly given you and accept it in humility. If you're accepting it in a prideful way, you're making it about you. And you do this so that you can live out the Great Commission. As you are going, you employ your gifts and you seek to minister to others for the glory of God, and especially in those areas of discipleship, right? Mm-hmm. When you're discipling others, your gift is going to be just what that person needs to be edified at the time. So let's wrap up by thinking through a few questions. Maybe you're thinking these things, or maybe you're not, and then you'll start thinking about them now that we mentioned them. Can spiritual gifts change over time? Well, the short answer, I believe, is yes. While all Christians have at least one spiritual gift bestowed at the time of their conversion, we see that in Romans 12:6, 1 Corinthians 12:7, and verse 11, and especially in 1 Peter that we've talked about, it's also the case that a believer can continue to receive additional gifts through the course of their Christian life. And just quickly, I'll give you some verses to look at. 1 Corinthians 12:31, 1 Corinthians 14:1 and 13, and also verse 39 and 1 Timothy 4:14. So we can undoubtedly grow in the facility, the accuracy, the effectiveness of the gifts that God has given us, because all who have the gift of teaching will testify that they've probably grown in that area. I would say if you're getting worse than that area, it's probably because you're not utilizing the gift that God has given you. But we see that as you utilize that gift more and more, you will grow in that gift. You'll mature in that gift. You'll excel in that gift, right? So the gifts themselves don't change, but the individual believer will mature and become more effective in the exercise of that gift. And you'll see that it's used in various ways. And sometimes you'll see there's overlap. Like you'll see encouragement, right, in the area of teaching. But we know that there's overlap there. We also see that helps will come in the area of counseling and teaching, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because you're coming alongside mm-hmm. someone and helping them. So we can see that there can be some overlap. Now, here's another question. Does God still work through supernatural gifts such as tongues, prophecy, and healing? Ooh.
That's a good question.
That's a hot topic, isn't it? That's one that we see can be problematic at times, mm-hmm. right? We know that all spiritual gifts are supernatural. They are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and they are through the believer. All gifts, whether they're teaching, mercy, helps, they are a gift of the Spirit. They are a work of that same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God who empowers them all and everyone, according to 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. But certain gifts are more overtly miraculous as well as temporary. We take the view here at TMU, at my church as well as your church, mm-hmm. Shelby, we take the cessationist position, right? We contend that tongues, prophecy, healing gifts were designed to confirm and attest the truth of the message and ministry of the apostles and specifically of Jesus Christ, right?
That's right.
And so when the apostles passed on from the scene in the latter years of the first century, we see that the gifts bore witness to their identity and ministry also ceased. And what was happening along the same time? The word was fully written.
That's
right?
True. Mm-hmm.
So all of those prophecies and all of those things that it heard and now have been put into scripture, we know that we now have
the more sure word.
That is slam dunk. And if you look historically, if you look at a timeline of those areas of giftedness, you will see as history progresses, they become less and less spoke about as time progresses, right? Because they were less necessary because the word was more fully proclaimed.
That's right. Love it.
This is a no-brainer because it's right there because it comes straight from scripture.
Yeah.
So to me, there's no argument. So it says in 2 Peter 1:19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure. So we say the word more sure, right? Like we both just said, to which you may do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. So enough about that. I think we've been clear enough on that. How do you know what your gift is? Nowhere in the New Testament, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, in the first episode, do we see that we're to go take all of these tests to find out what our giftedness is, right? I feel that the best way, and we even encourage this to people who are unsure what their giftedness is when they go through our new membership class at our church, is to say, where do you see yourself serving?
Right. What floats your boat?
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And you will see God develop that as you serve. And you may get into an area and you go, whoa, that is not my area of giftedness. May you help out and serve in that way for a time being for a reason? Sure, you may help out a little bit, but is that your area of giftedness? Maybe not. You'll find out by serving. How do you know? By serving. So if you do this, Shelby, your gift will find you. God is not this mean God that's hiding it from us.
No,
he is wanting to use us. He desires for his name to be made great and for him to be glorified by using his chosen ones, his redeemed people. I discovered that I had the gift of teaching when a lady asked me to lead a small lesson from a book study. And she told me afterwards, you have the gift of teaching. And a funny thing had happened that morning. I had actually left my notes at home because of a series of circumstances, which I won't go into in the podcast.
You're brave.
It was horrifying. But after I taught and had asked the Lord, please help me. My notes are at home. I can't go back and get them. All those things that I had studied, he allowed me to recall to mind. And it was clear to that sister in Christ who had asked me to lead that. You have the gift of teaching. And I see that in you. I'll tell you that. You have that gift, Shelby. Mm-hmm. Someone will come to me. They'll listen to a message and they'll say, they'll encourage me. You have the gift of teaching. It's not that I'm bragging, that it's about me. Kim has the gift of teaching. No, I always say, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It came from him. I want to give it all back to him. Mm-hmm. The glory belongs to him. But over the years, I've had the opportunity to grow in that particular gift, whether it's teaching the ladies' Bible studies, whether it's writing material for my women, and even topical studies, right? I'm using those studies and those teaching skills that God is giving me also in the area of biblical counseling, right? And even as a Titus 2 woman, we're called to teach what is good. We're all called.
That's true.
To teach what is good.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But as someone who's been given the gift of teaching, that I can use very specifically, like we said, about making disciples and discipling women. Mm-hmm. So he's just grown me over the years.
Oh, yeah.
It's just his kindness, his grace. So I think serving in various ministries over the years helped me to really solidify what areas of giftedness I have and what fall under, say, that broad category of teaching. And sometimes they look like exhortation, like you said. Sometimes they look like encouragement, wisdom. You know, as I get older, I hear that word a lot more. I want to ask you just get some wisdom from you. And that's an honor, right?
Yeah, it's an honor.
It's an honor. But I also see, we could say biblical counseling, like you even said, has that aspect of mercy in it because we have this real compassion and desire to come along somewhat and help them to not be their better selves, but to to glorify God, to become more like Christ, right? Mm. And so that can be an act of mercy as well. So bottom line, spiritual gifts are the means by which the Spirit of God enables and empowers every single believer, no one is exempt, to help one another grow in the conformity and the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not like a badge of godliness. It's more a measure of love that we have for other believers in serving at the moment because we have been loved by God. And when we know that he is the one that has taught us to love others, we will want to use the gifts that he has graced us with, right? That gift of grace to share within the body of Christ for the building up and the edification of other believers. So ladies, I tell you, this episode has just caused me to worship the Lord that he knows me that intimately and cares about his body so much that he gives us these gifts to use to make his name beautiful. And as we adorn what he has given us, we will make the gospel beautiful. We will make our Lord and Savior beautiful. And we will grow and see and worship him as we see how he is intimately involved in every single detail of our lives, including giftedness. And so I hope that this has been as sweet for you as it has been for Shelby and I.
Oh, yes. I'm like you. I just putting all of these notes together, we just praise the Lord for what he's doing, how he's working in his body. It's just amazing. We're very, very thankful. And ladies, we are also very, very thankful and want to just extend our heartfelt gratitude to each of you for just joining us on this sort of journey, if you will, of just exploring the significance of spiritual gifts within the body of Christ. But before we part ways, it's amazing that we're already through this, but we'd like to draw your attention to a couple of upcoming events that we believe will enrich your spiritual growth and fellowship. Mm-hmm. Wanted to just put it on your radar because they're coming up quickly and they're just such valuable conferences to be a part of. And the first one I'm thinking of is the Shepherd's Wives Conference that's coming up very soon. It's in June 13th to 15th. It's in Jacksonville, Florida. And this gathering of women, it's an opportunity really for all women to get together. It's not exclusive to a certain group of women. It's actually inclusive. And so I hope that maybe you can look into that. The website is just such an easy one. It's just shepherdswives.com. Kim and other friends of mine are teaching at it, and I think it's just going to be marvelous. I went last year. It was super encouraging. It was just neat to go to a conference with all women like that. We're all in ministry at some level, and it was just neat to be able to encourage each other. So look into that. I hope that you can attend that. It's fun to go to Florida.
But this is my first time to actually be in Florida that's not just the airport.
Oh, how funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I think you're really going to enjoy it. I'm glad you're excited. But additionally, another conference that just seems to be like right on the horizon, just around the corner, is the ACBC conference. Mm-hmm. And this year they are set to have it in Texas, your hometown.
That's Fort Worth.
Right. Fort Worth, Texas. And Kim is from that area. But I noticed when I was looking on their website that prices are increasing after the 31st of March. So hopefully by the time you hear us in this podcast, maybe you've checked that out. But don't let that scare you, even if we're well into April. Just go on to their website and see if you can be a part of that. We don't want you to miss out. Their conference is always the first week of October. So it's like a Monday through a Wednesday, the October 7th to 9th. Is the dates this year. So
are you teaching on?
Oh, I am teaching at that. I am actually teaching on how to use the gospel in counseling. And I'm going to be in John 11 most of the time.
Good.
So I'm excited. Or just the cost of discipleship also.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I think that'll be sweet. But you can, another website that's easy to get to, it's just biblicalcounseling.com. But we want to just express our deepest appreciation to our dedicated production team at the Masters University for their tireless efforts in just ensuring the quality of our podcasts and make us sound good. And for those who are new to our community, you can connect with us on various social media platforms, so many, including Instagram. We have a Facebook group that not both of us, but Kim mostly posts on. I just get to reap the benefits of having someone that does that. And X, which was formerly known as Twitter, you can tap into our podcast through that as well. But once again, to our cherished listeners, we just want to extend our sincere thanks. And we want to wish for you just a day filled with great blessings.
Thank you for listening to the Women's Hope podcast of the Masters University. For more resources and episodes, visit masters.edu/womenshope. For more information on the Masters University, visit masters.edu. We'll see you next time.